pick a window.
Oh, wow. I don't know about the costume, but that's some set of wheels.
Hi, I'm Marv Wolfman, and you're listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast.
You're listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast, and I'm your host, the Red Actor Professor of All Things Comic Book, J.C. Carter. Joining me today on the show, my super friends, in the North, our punk pixie, Miss Jocelyn Christensen.
Hi, guys.
And on the bridge of his own private enterprise, our very own Admiral James Tiberius Batman, Laird Jeff Bell.
You know, I was worried there for a second. You started out a little low energy, but you finished off well. It was like you're taking a running start at it and kind of got to speed in the middle.
I had to walk it first before I got up to speed.
Yeah. A little stretching in there. I get it. You don't want to pull a hammy.
Yep. Can't always rush right in with all the energy I'd like.
Nope.
Again, like my ankle, things just remind me that I'm getting old. So.
Well, I was going to make a foreplay joke, but I mean, I see where you're at.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
It's like, whoa, whoa, yep. Whoa, stay out of the middle. Give me a minute to warm up. Come on.
Oh, come on. Yeah, it's just, yeah, there's pain and there's pain. So, you know, what are you going to do?
What are you going to do? There's so, my house. My house has pain. My house has a toilet in the living room, you guys. Now, don't get excited. That sounds fun, right?
No.
There's God, no water to it. So it's not functional. And it just takes up a lot of space now. So now we're in the phase of...
I've always been more amused by the functional toilet in the yard. That's always been my favorite.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so now we're dealing with getting a contractor, getting the bids, getting that submitted to the insurance. And I don't have the time, energy, or the patience for any of it. And it's causing stress in my household. A lot of it. We're down to one bathroom. There are four of us.
Mm.
Now, thankfully, we did leave the shower intact upstairs. So we at least have two showers. That's saving our lives. Saving our lives. How about you guys? How was your week?
I don't know, man. Shower is important, but bathroom.
That's
having
my
your
time.
Own bathroom, yeah.
It's my time to be alone with me and my thoughts. Not to be sitting in the living room wishing there was water on this thing I'm dropping a deuce in.
Want to be alone with me and my thoughts and my cell phone. That's all. Come on.
Right.
I was given a gift this week. Just sort of randomly. I was given two great gifts this week, as a matter of fact.
Well,
one of them I'll talk about.
They are well-deserved.
I doubt it. But the other one I'll talk about on the left show, because it was medically related. But somebody dropped off an air fryer.
Oh, nice.
Like a real basket one, not the weird one I bought last year that's basically a glorified, uncleanable toaster oven.
Right, those are weird to me. Yeah. We grabbed the one from my mom's. Nobody's tried to use it yet. I thought about it yesterday, but
let me tell you something. You can get a 12 pack of pizza pockets over at the 7-Eleven for like $2.50.
Yeah,
and you could just throw those in the air fryer all fucking day. I don't give a shit that they're bad for me. I'm like I'm gonna make pizza pockets or whatever the fuck they're called. Where are they? Pizza nuggets?
Pizza rolls.
Pizza rolls.
If you want to go fancy with those pizza rolls, mix yourself up some garlic butter and Parmesan and toss that with the air fried pizza.
Oh, I butter.
Rolls.
I butter them. I butter those. I butter my Hot Pockets, my Pop-Tarts.
Oh, Pop-Tarts buttered are the best.
Have you ever had butter on a Pop-Tart? They're so friggin' good. Do you know the song? You never had butter on a Pop-Tart. I'm thinking that you think you should.
I like it, though. I like it.
I'll send you the link.
Yep.
Yep. Now, butter makes everything better. What about you, dude? What's up?
Oh, things. My water crisis ended when I got the phone call from the plumbing supply store. Now, this is very interesting. So when you get a leak in your faucet, you just basically, there are cartridges inside the little hot and cold water taps. You pull those out and you replace them with new ones. So I turned the water off, pulled out the cold water tap, went to the plumbing supply store, literally called Plumbing Supply.
Yeah, Plumbing Supply.
And I said, do you have one of these? And they said, no. Huh? They said, but there is a shop in up by the Fair Park that specializes in older plumbing. And I was like, okay. So he gave me the address, and I drove up there. And, yeah, like, you go to the Fair Park, you pass the Fair Park, you turn right, and then it's over. It's just up on the left. And I walk inside, and I mean, I felt like I'd stepped into, like, someplace in Boston or New York. You could smell cigarette smoke, you know, like they'd smoked in that building for a long time. And then when the Clean Air Act came, they just, you know, they didn't give a shit for a while and then stopped after a while. The last guy who smoked finally died or quit or whatever.
Right.
They're just a counter with all the supply behind them. You take a number, you walk up to the counter. They have University of Utah stuff all over, you know, Utes stuff all over. They're apparently big Utes fans. They do servicing for a lot of the churches around here, not LDS. So there's all kinds of Catholic and Protestant iconography just kind of around the room from little posters and stuff they've got up. And I was like, I don't feel like I'm in a Utah shop. I like this a lot. So anyway, they got me the hot water, but not the cold water. They didn't have the cold water in. They were ordering me a new one, so I went and picked that one up. And what a difference it made. All of a sudden, the leak was gone. And once I put the new one in, so I was very happy about that. Now, mind you, these parts are about $30 a pop to pick up, so that was no fun. But yeah, apart from that, it was fine. And one of the things I took from Mom's house, not realizing what I had grabbed, she had a big TV, big flat screen TV. And I'm like, well, it's bigger than what I got, and if nobody wants it, I'll take it. I bring it home and realize, okay, A, it's smart TV.
Nice.
So don't need to worry about Roku anymore.
Nice.
And B, it's 4K.
Oh,
so everything is this weird weird 3D kind of thing, like you're looking in somebody's window kind of look. I mean,
yeah.
It was, yeah. It also kind of reminds me of soap operas. Like they have everything in sharp focus in the foreground and they blur out the background a little bit, you know, mm-hmm. That's kind of what it looks like. You know, it's like it attempts this 3D thing. And I'm like, I feel like I'm watching a soap opera, but it's weird because even on old shows that I'm watching, like MASH or Buffy, still does it.
Weird.
About the only one that didn't do it, hasn't done it on, is Star Trek, the original series.
Stuff that has been done on film.
Yeah.
You'll find does that quicker than stuff that was filmed on original video, like TNG.
Yeah, but I'm talking next original series, Star Trek. That doesn't really do it. A little bit, but not as much as I thought it would. But yeah, watching like old John Wayne movies like we've been watching. Yeah, you get it. And then I got a gift from President Biden this week.
I saw your gift. I was really happy for that for you.
I had an emotional breakdown when I confirmed it. Because when I first got I got an email from the loan service provider they've got for student loans, this new one. I can't remember the name of it. I get an email that says, your loan's been forgiven. I'm like, bullshit.
I believe that until you guys show up to arrest me for non-payment.
Right. Exactly. I'm like, that's a load of horse shit. So I go directly to the federal student loan site, and no, I still have I still owed like $45,000, and I was like, yeah, bullshit, you didn't forgive my loan. And but I thought I'll just keep checking out every day until I see it. And Thursday, there it was on the federal loan site, zero balance. I was like, holy shit. Now they forgave what I transferred to the federal student loan I'd long ago paid off my student loan. Hell, I'd long ago paid off what I had transferred over to the feds, but the interest, that it was $45,000 in interest, was sitting on my account.
Gosh.
Yeah, that was what I owed. And I thought, even if they forgive the principal, they'll probably still make me pay the interest. No,
right.
They wrote it all off.
Nice.
And I got in on the deal I had. So there were three deals after the Supreme Court said you can't do it because we're conservatives and we don't like people. We don't want people to have freedom or enjoy things. The
bailouts are for billionaires only.
Exactly. Bailouts are only for billionaires, not for you peasants. So they went back. Biden said, well, let's look at three groups. They had a volunteer thing where if you volunteer for certain volunteer organizations, not all of them, I think they're more like federal level volunteer organizations. Yeah. If you volunteer for a certain amount of time, they'll forgive your student loan. Federal employees, if you work as a federal employee for 10 years, at least the old way was, if you worked as a federal employee for 10 years while paying your student loan debt would be forgiven because you're doing public service. Whenever they tell me that, I think of Northern Exposure. How the whole plot of Northern Exposure was the doctor was this New York guy who got sent up to this nothing town in Alaska because that would pay off, because by doing that, his student loan would be paid off.
No, the town paid for his school.
Yeah,
that's right. Yep. The town paid for his school. That was what the deal was. But yeah, that's what I felt like. It was like, yeah, if you're doing that. Problem is, yes, I work for the government, but I'm a contractor and I've been on contract for 9 years. So I didn't qualify. But Biden said he was going to look at those again and see if you qualified. And I was like, maybe he'll open it up for contractors. And then next year, I can see about getting my loan forgiven. But he also looked at anybody who had their loan with the feds for 20 years or longer. And 20 years ago is when I transferred my loan from whoever the fuck had it originally over to the Fed. Primarily so I could get more forbearance because I was going through a lot of layoffs at the time. So and my original loan servicer stopped allowing me. They said, nope, you've hit your forbearance cap. Cool. And I'm like, well, guess what? I'm laid off. You're not getting any money.
Yeah.
And eventually Yuhia, who was the underwriter of it, Utah Higher Education Authority, sent me called me and said, here's what you got to do. You need to transfer this to the Fed, to the Department of Education, because we're not going to be able to, you're going to get in a lot of trouble for this. So I transferred it over to the DOE. And when I'm talking to the girl in the DOE, I'm like, yeah, well, she goes, I said, yeah, I've capped out my forbearance. She goes, oh, ours is unlimited. And it wasn't until I finally got a gig I was finally being paid what I needed to be paid, that I started paying my loans again. But then that gig went away. The company literally was sold down the river, went out of business. I was laid off again. And it wasn't until I felt I was stable and making the money I needed to with my current job that I started paying it again. So I had all that interest accrued for years. And but they did a full forgiveness. So if you've got your loan in to the Department of Education and you think you've got 20 years, I mean, they'll mine was the whole thing because I just transferred everything over. If you've transferred that over 20 years ago, but you've taken out loans since then, you'll probably owe on those loans still. But that's all. But honestly, I didn't do anything. I had put in for forgiveness because that's what they told you to do.
Yep,
right.
Yep.
Right.
And then I got that letter or that email and I was like, yeah, horse shit. And then found out it was true. So
my emails so far have all been get ready. It's October almost.
Yeah. I had a lot of that. Get ready. Bend over. There's no lube kind of thing. Because even though they paused, interest was still accruing.
Yep.
Right.
Fucking loans. So yeah. Yep. It was a huge relief and I'm very happy. And I still wish that I could make them do it for Jeff or make them do it for other people I know, like Aaron and stuff, who have these gigantic student loans that they've still owe on. So yeah. That's what I wish. I don't know about you, Joss. You probably paid yours off, but if you even had them.
I didn't have a whole lot of student loans, thankfully.
Yeah, so. I for my first the beginning of college, I didn't I I paid for it myself at first, when I, my first year of college. Then I was out of money, so I stopped going to college. And then I decided I want to go back. And my mom said, well, I talked to somebody and we can get a Pell Grant that will just pay for your school. And I'm like, really? And because my dad was a veteran, served in World War II, and we were, and he had been a union member, and he had passed away and left us living on Social Security.
Yeah.
I got the maximum Pell Grant. And so my first degree was completely paid for. But when I transferred to the U was a little more expensive, but that shouldn't have made a difference, except that they decided to do a giant tuition hike across the board in Utah that year.
Got
to
pay for that football.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I wound up with, they said, yeah, you're going to have to take out a student loan, but you don't have to take out a big one. It'll only be $5,000. But then I had to keep taking out loans to get through, to continue in school each year. So.
Right.
Yeah. And it was hard, but I mean, the Pell Grant was still there, and the Pell Grant would only be there if I had to pay for school. If I got a tuition waiver, I didn't have to worry about the Pell Grant. And I got tuition waivers after, usually in both, at both colleges, after the first year, I'd get a tuition waiver from the department I was working in. So I was studying with.
Nice.
Because I was non-academic. And so the arts programs loved to throw tuition waivers at you. That was the best part about them. I'm like, there's so much competition in sciences and, you know, other and business and stuff to get the tuition waivers, but the arts department was like, there's 10 of us, they all get tuition waivers. Yeah. There are 10 people claiming this as a major, they get tuition waivers.
They threw out tuition waivers like Oprah gives away cars.
Oh, they did. I'm telling you, they made it rain with tuition waivers at least in the two schools I went to.
I love it.
Yeah, mind you, I just saw on the news yesterday that the University of Utah just got the biggest freshman class it's ever had. Ooh. Yeah. Like,
it's evolution. We're all taller now.
Yeah. Like 55,000 new students, all freshmen. I'm like, wow, that's a lot of people.
Yeah, it is.
Anyway, so that was great news. And then apart from that, yesterday I went up to Dr. Volz, having forgotten everything that was happening at Dr. Volz on Saturday. I went up to Dr. Volz to get my comics, and there is Doug, and there is Andy, and there is Mike, and I went Travis. Over to say hi to him, and then Evan showed up. We're all local comic book creators. Of course, Doug Wagner being the most comic book shop famous of us.
He's a cool kid on the block right now.
He is. Yeah. He is.
Him and Phil Seve.
Yep. Him and Phil are our heroes. We want to be like them. But Mike Lovins has been making comics for a while, and just independently publishing them, you know, himself. Of course, Chris and Andy. Chris wasn't there, but Andy was. They've been doing that as well with Ruthless and stuff. Just, you know, self-publishing. I'm the one who wants to do what Doug did and just break into, you know, being in every comic book shop in the country without having to do all the work of self-publishing, because that's a lot more work than I want to do.
Fair.
I mean, I could tell Mike was looking at me like, well, you can just do what I do. And I'm like, no, not doing it. And then Evan is just getting rolling on it with his books. So yeah, it's that he's doing all himself. Art, writing, everything is himself.
Wow.
Oh, and I'm completely forgetting Travis was there, of course.
Yep.
Yeah. Our local, the guy who does well locally because he writes, I'm going to get in trouble for forgetting the name of his character.
The Mighty Utahn.
The Mighty Utahn. Utah's superhero who gets his power from radioactive green jello.
Yep.
And he sells so well here because of that. I thought the gull from that Andy and Chris did really well. No, it is nothing compared to the Mighty Utahn.
Nice. How did that event turn out, Jeff? How was the turnout at the shop?
It was nice. It is, though, what normally happens at signings usually here. And that's the next thing you know, you got a bunch of comic creators just standing around talking about comic creating with one another.
Yep.
And that's about it.
Well, that's the whole thing. We'd sit there talking, and then somebody would walk up that we didn't know, and then, you know, the guys actually selling books are, hello, how are you? Welcome, you know. And the rest of us know, shut the fuck up and let them sell their books. Yeah. And then we can go back. And then as soon as the customer leaves, we can go back to talking about comics, about making comics. But yeah, it's fun. I love those events, and it's a lot of fun. I mean, that's one of the fun things about Wasatch Con is, you know, they usually, at least the last two times, they put us in this hallway. And you basically all sit next to each other and you just sit and chat the whole time because, you know, there aren't, you're just waiting for people to walk down your hall.
Right.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, good. I'm glad the event went well.
Yep. We had fun. And like I said, I did not know they were there. So I stood on my sore foot, my sore ankle all day and for a couple hours and chatted with my friends. Yeah, it was fun.
It was nice. I liked it.
Yeah. Nice.
But there are some things we don't like, and for that, we've got to get into the news.
Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice,
actress Arlene Sorkin, best known for originating the Harley Quinn character in Batman the Animated Series, and also for her role as Calliope Jones on Days of Our Lives, has passed away at 67 years old. News was revealed by the veteran voice actor Neil Kaplan on Twitter, who said, "It broke my heart to hear the original voice of Harley Quinn, Arlene Sorkin, has passed away." It's been confirmed also by DC Studios. I didn't know they were in that business, but apparently they are. You know, you call the coroner and then you call DC, right?
Right.
That's how you do
James
it.
Gunn,
yeah.
I got a body. And he's like, "God, I didn't count on this part of this new job."
Mm-hmm.
He's like Quincy. That's what it is.
Yeah, he's like Quincy. He's got to come down.
Another dead one. I'm trying to make a Superman film here. Anyway, Sorkin was also a co-host of America's Funniest People. She leaves behind television producer husband Christopher Lloyd. Not that one.
Not
that Christopher
Lloyd.
Thanks for that.
1.21 gigawatts. Ronald Reagan, the actor.
Give me the Genesis device, Captain Kirk.
Dan Green, longtime Uncanny X-Men.
Just one thing on Arlene. I didn't realize she was Clappy Jones. And Clappy Jones, there was that period of time when Days of Our Lives was not just hitting, you know, Lonely Housewives, it was hitting teenagers as well. People were running home to watch Days after school because there was these weird things going on in this show. And the one thing that was big was Calliope Jones and her boyfriend, the professor, played by John I'm the Q Delancey, and that's where he started out, was with Arlene Sorkin on Days of Our Lives, and of course there she was as well. And they actually said that they kind of based Harley on Calliope Jones a little bit. That's why they were happy when they got Arlene Sorkin to play the role, because they were like, yeah, this is who we want. This is who we based it on a little bit. So yeah, fuck yeah.
I used to watch Days of Our Lives in junior high and early high school for one very important reason.
Very important reason.
Yep, that's what the girls were doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to hang around with them. So I did it too. That's why I know who Victor Kiriakis is. That's why I know who Stefano DeMero is. That's why I know who Hope. That's it, Bo and Hope. Not Bo and Luke. That's a different romance.
And see,
that's
I got the big straight when you told me you were watching Days, and I was like, okay, well, maybe there's something to it. So I go and watch, I start watching Days. I put on one episode of Days and I get treated to this delightful sub story of Arlene Sorkin and John Delancey trapped in a room in a building that they're trying to get out of, a skyscraper they're trying to get out of. He falls out the window and then bounces back in because he hit, because he says, yeah, there was a flagpole down below.
Yeah, it was like that. It was that good.
Yeah, it was that good. And it was, and only John Delancey could deliver that line and make it just wonderful. And I was like, oh my God, what the fuck? This is awesome.
There was the storyline, I think, before you started watching, where Marlena mm-hmm. got kidnapped by aliens. I mean, the whole show was fucking chaos. It was absolute chaos.
But, and that was, like, you were the last person to convince me I had to watch it. Because up until then, I was like, everybody's talking about this show, and I don't fucking get it. What's so great about a soap opera? It wasn't just a soap opera. They went crazy.
Yeah, it was chaos. It was fun.
Yep.
You know, I mean, just thank God the girls weren't watching, General Hospital or some shit.
Oh, yeah, no shit.
That's all
yeah.
I'm saying. Let's see, who else is dead?
Aww.
Dan Green.
Aww.
Longtime Uncanny X-Men inker, still dead at 70. Walt Simonson is the one that disclosed that Marvel and DC inker and artist Dan Green had passed away, saying, Dan Green has caught the last train out. One of my oldest friends in comics, a wonderful artist who inked an X-Factor job I penciled. He had a beautiful line that complimented my work, and I've always been delighted he inked it. Godspeed, pal. Thanks for your friendship.
There are many artists who they said Dan was their favorite inker to work with because he didn't embellish their work beyond what they'd originally intended. For the longest time, it was always John Romita Jr. and Dan Green working together, especially on X-Men. It was always John Romita Jr. and Dan Green, John Romita Jr. and Dan Green. When John Romita Jr. moved to Daredevil, Dan Green went with him, you know? Yeah. Even,
when John fought the Visigoths, Dan Green was right there beside him.
Yep. I was just saying, John Byrne. Even John Byrne said he loved working with Dan Green over any other inker. Yeah.
Yep. Well, not anymore. Bob Barker, longtime Price is Right host, dead at 99. He made it up too, but he didn't go over.
I was about to make the same joke.
Bob Barker died of natural causes of being 99. He died of being 99. Anything that happens to you when you're 99 that kills you, you're dead because you're 99. Roger Neal, serving as his publicist from 87 to 94, and then again from 2020 until this weekend, announced Saturday...
Until he lost his job? Is that what...
No. That's it. This gets better. Yeah, that's what it is. It's like, I'm looking for work.
Yep.
Oh, what happened with Bob and you? Well, Bob made a choice. I got to finish the paragraph. You ready?
Yes.
You guys know who we're talking about. Bob Barker.
Yes.
You know how old he was?
Yep.
99.
Announced Saturday on behalf of Bob Barker's girlfriend, Nancy.
How old's Nancy?
It is with profound sadness that we announce that the world's greatest MC who ever lived, Bob Barker, has left us. Nancy's all, most vigorous lover I've had in the last 3 decades.
Really? How old is Nancy?
It doesn't say. Hold on. Hold on. It's linkable. Give me a sec. She looks like she's in her 70s.
Okay. I mean,
they've been together a bit. Yeah, I got pictures of them from all over.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh. So,
maybe that's just it. He was non-traditional.
He didn't make an honest woman of her.
I am so proud of the trailblazing work Barker and I did together to expose cruelty to animals in the entertainment industry, including working to improve the plight of abused and exploited animals in the United States and internationally. We were great friends over these 40 years. He will be missed. It does suck.
Mm-hmm.
You know, still, yeah. You know, he was the best actor in Happy Gilmore.
It's not untrue. So
true.
Honestly, that my head went there when we started talking about this story. I'm like, the price is wrong, Bob. That's where my head went. Yeah.
Famous dog, Cheems Baltese, the Shiba Inu, that's been a viral sensation these last many years, has passed away. He fell asleep Friday morning during his last thoracentesis surgery. Originally, we wanted to arrange for chemotherapy. Other possible treatments for him after the operation, but it's obviously too late now. Don't be sad. Please remember the joy that Baltese brought to the world. A Shiba Inu with a round, smiling face connecting you and me. He's helped many people during the pandemic and brought a lot of joy to many of you. Mm-hmm. But now his mission has completed. I believe he's running freely in the sky, having a lot of delicious food with his new friends.
Aww.
Yep. Cheems was the reason why we know about Shiba Inus, in all honesty. It's like all the viral photos of him made Shiba Inus hugely popular. So, yeah.
They're cute. They're good dogs.
Yep.
They are.
Creator royalties are tanking in OpenSea. This is going to be one of those ones where I read it out loud, but I don't really know what the fuck I'm talking about. But
yeah, it's a hard one to figure out.
It looks like the NFT thing's having some problems, especially where paying creator royalties are concerned. We were told that enforcing contracts on the blockchain requiring resellers to pay a royalty to the original creators of the art was one of the few things about NFTs that seemed like a net benefit to artists. However, it turns out paying royalties is, you know, an option.
They didn't make it enforceable. It's not really in the contract. Yeah.
Yep. And there's nothing that the blockchain can do that'll enforce a royalty. Mm-hmm. It's just humans deciding what to do, you know, like always.
Yep.
So last fall, OpenSea, the largest NFT marketplace, had to back down on a plan to drop enforcing royalties after creators complained. Oh, for fuck's sake. There we go. Since then, OpenSea has been eclipsed by Blur, a new marketplace that costs less because they don't have to enforce royalty payments.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this gets really dumb. But basically, remember back a year ago when we were like, oh, NFTs are stupid, and you're going to be stupid if you're involved with them.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Turns out we were right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Love it when we're right.
Absolutely.
No, this is, and anybody who had a NFT through OpenSea, they're losing money on it now.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Well, they lost money when they spent it on the fucking NFT. Let's be honest.
The money was gone. Yeah, you threw money at a fucking Ponzi scheme, and that's the end of it. Yeah. Yep.
Your imaginary money is less now. Maybe you mm-hmm. should go to World of Warcraft and buy things there, dummy. That's a piece of news I didn't grab from a couple of weeks ago. But some dude spent like $300,000 on a house in a video game.
Shut up.
Yeah, in the metaverse or something. It's nuts.
Oh, wow.
Fuck's sake.
But in this week's biggest piece of news.
Oh, dear.
That's it for the news.
Huh. Okay.
We're going to take a little break. And when we come back, we're talking moving pictures.
If you came across someone struggling with hunger, how would you recognize them? Would you notice a 16-year-old boy who got his first job?
Not for extra spending money, but to help feed his little sisters?
Or a mother who's in between jobs and sometimes goes to bed hungry so her kids can have dinner? I am the one in eight Americans who struggle with hunger. I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hey, this is Elena Huffman, Abaddon on Supernatural, and you are listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast.
There is nothing. something wrong with your television. Do not attempt to adjust the picture. We are now controlling the transmission. We control the horizontal and the vertical. We can deluge you with 1,000 channels or expand one single image to crystal clarity and beyond. Please stand by.
All right. What have you guys been watching on the TVs this week or the movies or whatever? Let's start with Jess.
I didn't watch a ton of stuff, but I did kind of almost watch Dungeons and Dragons, except that I fell asleep.
Almost a good attempt.
Yeah. You know, it's been weird, though, because like we've attempted to watch it, like, I don't know, 8 times, it feels like. I've watched the first 30 minutes. I know the opening story, like, perfectly now. But then I keep falling asleep. So, but when I watched it, I actually did enjoy. It was good. I liked it. And then the other day, I had a migraine, which is never fun. And so I put on Black Panther just for funsies to have something on, and I watched Black Panther, and it made me cry a little bit. So, yeah.
As always.
Yeah, but I didn't get a chance. I was sad. I wanted to try and get Ahsoka watched, and I didn't get a chance to. So I look forward to hearing what you guys have to say about it, though. What'd you guys get watched this week, Jeff?
I mean, Ahsoka, obviously, even though I forgot to write it down. No, I accidentally watched season 2 of Strange New Worlds again. I was like, you know what? I want to see the crossover episode. You know what I want to see? I didn't watch them in order. I watched all of them totally out of order. It was nuts.
You watched all the fun ones.
And then went back and watched all the serious ones because I didn't know what else to fucking watch.
Yep, exactly.
So I did that. And then I finished Good Omens 2 last night, which was so much fun. And is honestly a much deeper piece of writing. It
really?
Was, yeah, Good Omens that he did with Terry Pratchett. A lot of fun. It had some deep, it had some deep religious, you know, overtones.
Yeah.
Of course, this, oh my God. So many great little strings and pulls and everything. John Hamm was fucking great. You know, where he was just the perfect asshole in season one. He was just an amazing job in season two. Everybody, for the most part, was good. There was only one character that bugs the shit out of me, and once you guys watch it, you'll know who I'm talking about. But yeah, overall, I'd say 9.9 out of 10. 5-star certified fresh.
Nice.
For me, anyway.
I need to get it watched, yeah.
And then, yeah, I watched the Rosario Dawson show.
Yeah.
And had a moment. So, here, okay. You got people on the left show, OGs from the left show, know I have this talent where with a lot of actresses, I could tell you what movies they've been topless in.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why I know this. I don't memorize it on purpose. I don't. it's this weird ADD thing I have. But so there's this actress on the Ahsoka, and she's there, and she's very pretty, and she's doing a good acting job. You know, she's come to work prepared. You can tell. And I'm like, who the fuck is that? Who in the fuck is that? I don't know who that is, but I know who that is. And then she got up and walked away.
And you knew who it was.
And I saw her ass in the pants and was like, oh, it's Mary Elizabeth Winstead. And so I told Tiffany about it. She of course made fun of me, and it's mockable. I mean, it is ridiculous. You know, it is, you know, it's one of those moments where I'm like, hey, I have a talent that I am uncomfortable with. And, anyway, I flipped through Reddit the next day, and somebody did a supercut of all of her scenes, all of Mary Elizabeth Winstead's scenes walking away from the camera. And I'm like, I'm not the only one! That made me feel good. But no, overall, holy shit, Ray Stevenson. Oh, dude, I missed you anyway, you fucker.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
now I miss
my
more.
God.
Yep.
So, I mean, I have some beard envy.
Mm-hmm.
Along with everything else to do with that dude. But how nice is it? And I'm pretty sure that I am stealing this line that somebody said to me, but how nice is it to have some Star Wars villains that aren't chewing up the fucking scenery, that are just there, competent, you know, and menacing?
Yeah.
You know? It was, I really enjoyed it. I had a good time watching it. I'm probably going to watch it again this week before number three drops. What a tasty piece of science fiction. I had a great time. What about you?
What about me? I had a great time watching Ahsoka. We finally got to it late this week. But damn, was it good. So you already said you got Mary Elizabeth Winstead playing Hera. And the second Hera turns around and smiles, I was like, oh, it's the girl from Scott Pilgrim. Fuck yeah.
Yep.
This is awesome. I was so happy about that. Then you've got her, you know, her apprentice. I can't remember the character's name, but the apprentice she was in the Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon Netflix series that was okay. And she was okay in it. So I was like, I'm fine with her being this role. And I like her a lot more in this one as the Mandalorian Jedi that she is, apparently. the villain, the main villain that we didn't know was the main villain until we get to the end of the second episode, where the main villain is Diana Incinato. She's royalty to me. The Incinato, her dad, Dan Incinato, was one of the Bruce Lee's first students in Jeet Kune Do, and then took over teaching Jeet Kune Do. He basically is the Jeet Kune Do guy in the United States. And she's his daughter, and she studied under her father and Bruce Lee. And so she's a Jeet Kune Do specialist. And yeah, I can't wait to see her get in a fight. Honestly. Yeah, this is going to be fun. And then David Tennant, was not expecting that. I had totally missed that. All the fucking buzz about it, all the news articles and shit, I'd missed all of that.
How great did the robot look like him, though? Isn't it great?
Yeah, it was. It was so good. I was like, oh, wait, it's the Dr. Droid. It was so good to have him in it. And, yeah, the droid is a great character as well, just in and of itself. Even if it had been David Tennant doing the voice, the droid is a fantastic character. The idea of this droid that had been there at the beginning of the, used to train the younglings in how to make lightsabers at the temple when the Jedi couldn't help them. You know, it was like, I just loved it. Loved everything about it. So yeah, this one, and the thing is these were long episodes. They were an hour long, each one of them. And yet, you know, and so I thought, oh boy, we're going to get kind of some slowdown like we did with Andor. No, it's a good, just a good episode. Two episodes, just fantastic. Gold. They were gold, I tell you. And the whole mission and everything just sounds so cool to me. So yeah, can't wait. Well, can't wait for this week's. And they drop on Tuesday of all days.
Which is great.
I now have something to look forward to on Tuesdays. So that's cool.
Other than tacos.
Yeah, other than tacos. Taco Tuesday and Ahsoka Tuesday. That's what we're going to get. What else did I watch this week? I got to find my email so I can see. What We Do in the Shadows. We finally got caught up with that one. Doug Jones was looking far too pretty, so they fixed that problem. It was great. Reservation Dogs. Weird fucking episode this week. It took place in the 70s, and it was just so weird. I loved it. Fucking loved it. And then the only other thing I watched this week of any note was I finally, it's taken me, what, 7 years to watch it, 8 years to watch it. I finally watched Wild with, what's her name, from Legally Blonde.
Reese Witherspoon?
Reese Witherspoon. Damn. I watched it, and I'm like, nah, I got another favorite movie. That's all there is to it. Because it's about this woman who, after going through some serious shit, that you don't really, you learn about it over the course of the movie in flashbacks, but she went through some serious shit. She decides to walk the PCT, the Pacific Crest Trail, by herself. Which you start that in the Mojave Desert, and you end up in Washington. And she did the whole hike herself. Took her over 100 days to hike it. This was in 1995, when ultralight was barely a thought in our minds. So her pack had to weigh more than she did when she put it on. Okay. Little Reese Witherspoon getting into that backpack. I was watching that going, I've had packs that heavy. That's not a good sign. No, not especially if you're going to hike that much. And there's a scene where she takes her, she's taking a shower at somebody who was friendly to her place. And just, they put these red stripes on her shoulders, on the back of her, on her back and on her hips. And I'm like, yep, that's what a pack like that and that size will do to you. And yeah, it was just crazy. Just such a great, great film. Just fucking loved it. And now I need to go to Oregon to see the Bridge of the Gods. That's all there is to it. Whether I hike to it or drive to it, because it looks like you can drive right up to it. But I want to see the Bridge of the Gods, because holy shit, the final shot of the Bridge of the off the Bridge of the Gods, I was like, I want to be there and see that in person. That looks amazing. Mind you, they picked the perfect day to get the shot, but obviously. But yeah.
Of course.
I'll get there and it'll be, you know, not that pretty, but yeah, that it was gorgeous. So yeah, well worth watching. This is its last. It's on Max, and it was on the cutting. It's on the chopping block for a little while. Basically, it'll go away for a few months and come back. But yeah, this is the last week you could probably watch it before it gets yoinked off of Max for a little while. So, if you haven't seen Wild, you should watch it. It's a really great film, and hits into one of my passions that we're missing Pat for, because she also shares the passion for the outdoors. So yeah, and that's why she's not here this week, because she's out camping.
Lucky.
Yep. So let's have some moving picture news.
CBS is going to air the Strange New World's first two episodes next month, because they got fuck all to put out there because they're too busy not paying their writers and their actors.
That's right.
I think I covered that one pretty well.
Yeah, pretty much.
I read the article and went, first two are free, kid. Then you got to subscribe.
Yep. Which I'm fine with as someone who's been paying for it all along.
Yep. I've been paying for Star Trek for several years now.
Yep. You get to bitch about it because I'm paying for it. So shut the fuck up.
Exactly.
But yeah, Strange New World and Children of the Comet, first two episodes of the original series. They've caught me. They've caught me in a paradigm of language. The hit Paramount series, which is kind of original, as it were, back-to-back September 8th at 8 p.m. This is part of the annual Star Trek Day celebration, which is held each year on September 8th to mark the anniversary of the original Star Trek series television debut in 1966.
They're doing a whole online thing, and the best guess we have is that it had to have been pre-recorded. So Jerry O'Connell's going to host this thing, and it's going to have all these actors showing up and talking and stuff. It had to have been pre-recorded prior to the strike.
That's what I'm thinking.
That's all there is to it. Yeah. That's the only answer I have, because otherwise they would all be in a lot of trouble with the union if they do this thing. So, yeah.
Tomb Raider is getting a new game, which isn't, I mean, surprising, because it's been a popular franchise for decades. What's cool about it is that it's going to be powered by Unreal Engine number 5. Unreal Engine 5 is fucking amazing. it is great. I got a buddy who's actually working with Unreal right now and just cannot shut up about how fucking cool it is. We don't know when. We just know that we're pretty sure that they're working on it and that they're building it in Unreal Engine number 5.
That's awesome.
Ahsoka. Star Wars fans are celebrating David Tennant's franchise return, which we already talked about. But this month, he returned to the role of Crowley in the second season of Good Omens. And then popped up as a, oh my God, I know that voice. In Ahsoka this week. And it was
they put a tinny sound underneath it all.
Yep.
So it took me a little while before I was like, that voice is so familiar. Who is that? And yeah.
Then you do. There's his name in the credits at the end.
Yep.
Anyway, yeah. So this year he's back in Doctor Who. He's back. He's in Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
He's in The Good Omens. Good year for this guy.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
No, we just need a Return of the Purple Man and a Jessica Jones thing on Disney, and he's you know.
He's got it. That and the one where he plays a broody detective in the Cliffside
yes.
Town.
Oh, yeah, that one. That was crazy. Yeah.
Yeah,
the original British version was better than the American one, but he was still great in the American one.
That's true. Yahtzee office closes after worker makes a strike-related threat. Local 80 closed its office Friday after receiving a threatening letter that purported to be from an out-of-work grip. The letter, which was postmarked Wednesday, appeared to be related to the ongoing strike. Dijon Ellis Jr., business manager of the union, says he said some very scary things. He's just mad. He says he's out of work and homeless. He's distraught. I don't know if it's a cry for help or not knowing how to control his anger. Ellis said,
I'm going with cry for help myself.
Hopefully.
And I'm going for both. He's making a cry for hope, but doesn't help, but doesn't know how to control his anger. Because, dude, don't shit where you live. You know, don't shit where you eat.
Yeah.
The IATSE is there to help you, you know, go yell at the studios or something, you know, send your threatening letters to the studios for not closing off this strike. Yeah.
So
it's not IATSE's fault.
Nope.
And I'm sure they can find you work if you ask for it. You can go roll carpet at a convention center.
No, you can't. I'm sure.
No, nope.
It depends. It depends on what that local does. And what your part in that local is.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, because
so it's local 80 that's not getting, well, local 80 can't find you any work because there's no work.
Right.
That's the problem. Yeah.
But there's strike funds and stuff. So, I mean, it's go in and talk to somebody, dude.
Yeah. We'll find there you some should help. Be some strike funds to get you at least something. Yeah.
So the writers and actors strikes continued through Friday with no sign of a speedy resolution.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, there was a picture out of the union guys at one side of an empty of a table, and the other side of the table was empty, and apparently it was Netflix that just got up and left in the middle of the meeting
of the negotiation.
Yep.
That's cool.
Yep. A handful That's of leaders cool. from the WGA met with four top CEOs on Tuesday night, leading to a barrage of statements but no further in the room negotiations. Meanwhile, there have been no overture to SAG-AFTRA, which has been on strike since July 14th. Lang Parker, a SAG-AFTRA member who was picketing at Fox, says, I just feel we're digging our heels in harder. And I'm cool with that.
You have to.
Robin Schiff, who writes on Emily in Paris, said the writers are solid. We're rock solid. I think people are disappointed, but I don't think the mood has shifted other than people being deflated because the companies weren't serious.
Mm-hmm. So. They said, "Oh, we're coming back. We're gonna negotiate with the writers." And now you see things like Netflix getting up and leaving. Yeah.
Yep.
Well, you're not negotiating then, are you? If you're just walking out of the negotiations, thinking you're just going to starve these people out, you forget who has the money. You know, those who have made the money can put the money into the union funds to keep these guys at least alive while they're striking. So.
Yep. Yeah. Glenn Morgan, writer on The X-Files, was picketing at Paramount, saying, "I think they believe they can break us. It's just a crazy tactic on their part. I've been through this in 88 and 2007. There's no going back. It's like an apocalypse now. It's victory or death. It's like there's no choice."
Yeah, really isn't.
And then another delay, Dune Part 2 has been delayed to 2024 because of the strike.
Mm-hmm.
That was supposed to come out, I think, what, November? This year?
Yeah, it was. Wow. Which means they should have had all their principal photography done, but they must have been wanting to do pickups and
either that there's no promotion.
Yeah. That could be it.
Yeah. All right, that's it for the news.
All right, we're gonna take a little break, and when we come back, we're talking comics.
My name is Peter Davison. I played the Fifth Doctor, and you're listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast.
Neil Armstrong waited 6 hours and 39 minutes to step onto the surface of the moon. Jackie Robinson waited 20 months to play his first game with the Brooklyn Dodgers. and even DiCaprio had to wait 22 years to win an Oscar. You can wait until your destination. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Kevin Eastman, co-creator of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and you're listening to me on the world's greatest comic book podcast.
Wah, wah, wah!
Some comic book news.
Valiant. All right, Valiant's gone.
Yep.
Oh.
Yep. They've canceled Ninjak and Exo Manowar.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they've been putting out Nada, mm-hmm. but they've been hurting. They've been hurting pretty bad since Dinesh left a few years ago.
We were talking about this yesterday. Dinesh, who left and then founded Bad Idea Comics, which is this crazy, crazy, you know, comic book thing, but it's working. You know, the crazy ideas behind Bad Idea are working. And yet, you know, him leaving Valiant, we knew it was going to tank, and yep, it's tanked.
Yep. Fair Square Comics, Alien Books, are meant mm-hmm. to be taking over the publishing for Valiant Entertainment, but there's no sign in Fair Square's November 2023 solicits or solicitations. Not yet, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And Valiant was supposed to kickstart a new title for Eternal Warrior. Nothing. They've just fucking vanished.
Mm.
No fun.
And to kill their two legacy series...
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah.
That's huge. Yeah.
Yep. A new era of Daredevil is on the way.
Woohoo!
Hot on the heels of the finale to the Chip Zdarsky Daredevil run, which revealed a surprising new status quo for Matt Murdock. Saladin Ahmed from Black Bolt and Miles Morales Spider-Man. And Alec Cooter. I hope. That's
Aaron Cooter.
Sure. Cooter. Yep. Cooter's where I got lost. That's the does he fix cars? That's what I'd like to know. Is mm-hmm. he a mechanic to the Duke boys?
I was gonna say that's your second Duke boys and reference of the day.
And their
man.
Forbidden romance. they're teaming up to tell the next chapter in Daredevil's life, including a significant career change for Matt Murdock. Who, you know, we know him as a lawyer, but apparently he's going to become a priest. Yeah.
I know.
Hey, you know what, though? Let me put it this way. If everybody will just buckle down and listen to me for a moment, at least he's not a starship powered on his own anger.
Yes.
Okay?
That's a big one for me right there.
Yeah.
I did not need the immortal Matt Murdock. Yeah. Give me this version of Daredevil and based on this preview, and if you follow the link at thecomicbookpodcast.com, there's a preview for Daredevil number one. And we see who the Daredevil is of New York City. And it's big news. Because it ain't Matt necessarily. Well, I mean, eventually it'll be Matt, I'm sure. You can't keep a good Daredevil down. But Elektra looks like she's continuing as the woman without fear for a while, which I thought she's a great successor for Daredevil, in my opinion. So,
it's done really well. So,
yep.
We'll see how it is. But in the meantime, that is it for the news.
All right. So what have you guys been reading this week? Start with Joss.
Oh, on me. I didn't get anything read. But I did have to clean up my living room because of the previously mentioned toilet situation.
Yes.
And I found my stack of comics that are unread and neglected. And it's much bigger than I thought. Because apparently the other people who live in my house, when they help me clean up, they just stash them in random locations.
Yes.
So, yeah, I got a project ahead of me to try and sort through all of my books for I don't know how long and figure out where I can read them and what I can read next. So I didn't get anything read, but I have a lot of things to read, and that's always exciting.
Yay.
How about you, Jeff? What did you get read this week?
Okay, so last week we brought up a little nostalgia bomb called The Time Wars by a certain Simon Hawke. And I made a little joke that wasn't a joke in which I purchased number one, the Ivanhoe Gambit.
Nice.
Yeah. I have since read The Timekeeper Conspiracy and The Pimpernel Problem or whatever the fuck it was called.
Pimpernel Plot.
There you go. And I've got the fourth one I'm about to start once I'm done editing for the day today.
That'd be The Zenda Vendetta, I think.
I got to tell you, I've gone back to my teenage readings before, and nine times out of ten, they're cringe as fuck.
Right.
But these are fun. And I am remembering things from them, just one-off lines that I have used since that I had no idea came from these fucking books. But that's been a lot of fun this week.
Knock on Formica and cross your fingers. I still remember that line from Ivanhoe.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep.
Fun. And then where we got this? We got the Immortal Thor number one from the Al Ewing.
Yep.
Okay. I'm not frightened yet. It was pretty good. The art was nice. Wilson's art was nice. So did I like it? Yes. I liked it. It was a Thor story. I like most of my Thor stories. In fact, the only ones I didn't like over the last couple of years were fucking Banner of War. Because Thor fighting Hulk ought to be awesome, not Thor fighting a fucking spaceship by sticking his dead dad's ghost into the brain of the spaceship. Come on, Kate's. So, anyway. No, it got dumb. It was dumb.
Yeah.
Let's just be honest. So, that's all I managed to get to this week. What about you? I set aside a copy of Strange New Worlds number one and then promptly did not make time to read it.
Didn't get around to it. Yeah.
Didn't have time. Yeah. Bunch of comic book creators in my store yesterday.
Went and picked up my comics yesterday. And after chatting with my friends for a good couple of hours, I came home and started reading. I had a big batch of Image comics I hadn't expected to get. I mean, I knew they were going to be in my hold, but it was like, wow, this is nothing. It's like all Image comics, some Star Trek comics, and then like one DC and two Iron Man comics from Marvel. And I'm like, I guess that's the size of it, huh? So the standout read for me this week, and I knew it was going to be anyway, when I first subscribed to her Substack, I knew this was going to be a standout read for me. And that's Kelly Thompson and Matthew D. Eilis's The Cull, number one. Okay. When they worked together on Jessica Jones, Mattia's artwork is so beautifully rendered. I mean, he digitally paints the whole thing. He's Alex Ross on a computer, basically. And it's just beautiful art all the way through. And this is what I saw in the Jessica Jones one blew me away. This is next level shit. I mean, it looks real. The place, where this takes place is effectively the beach from the Goonies, with the Black Rock Beach from the Goonies. And, she intentionally selected that place 'cause she's a Goonies fan. Right. And, like I knew she'd be. And, but instead of going into the cave and finding a pirate ship, they go into the cave and find a portal to another dimension.
Like you do.
Yeah. And there's some tragedy. Each character seems to have some kind of tragic level to them. And I'm interested in exploring each. I hope I get to explore each of these characters and learn about the tragedies and everything that's going on in their lives. From a girl who, you know, her father abused her and her mom to, you know, another girl who's like, you know, you can't go unless this person's going, you know, from her dad and everything. It's so amazing. Just beautifully done. I can't wait for issue two, honestly. So, and it makes me wish I'd subscribed to Kelly's Substack so I could have read it already and been like, no, you need to read The Cull when it comes out. Anyway, I did get Star Trek Strange New Worlds, the Scorpius Run, and read it. So it's a little bigger than I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be kind of a race comic, you know, that Lieutenant Ortegas is basically, that's her thing and that's the end of it. No, no. They get stuck in this weird area of space known, basically called Scorpius, which is in the Scorpius constellation. And there's a moment where Pike is surprised that everyone calls it Scorpius. He's like, you're not from Earth. Why would you call it Scorpius? And they're like, I don't know. That's just what we call it. And they wind up getting conscripted. The Enterprise itself winds up getting conscripted into this race where if they don't win the race, the Enterprise will be given to the guy who's captured them as a prize, and all of the crew will be enslaved by him. So, you know, there's high stakes for them to get this to win the Scorpius Run. Obvious, I'm thinking, well, they're going to have to do something where they save everybody. That'll be fun. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how this Scorpius Run goes down. It's a lot of fun. This one, unlike the last Strange New Worlds, I'm really hearing their voices in this one. The dialogue is spot on, and I'm getting their voices as we read it. So, yep. Well worth it. But that's this week's reviews. But today is Tuesday. That means tomorrow's Wednesday. It's time to give our picks of the week.
You only say hello so you can say goodbye. These two words must make your life complete. You pick out the hearts that break to make your ego high. And I was just your pick of the week.
So this will be our last solicitation also for October. So you need to get your orders in now if you want to get these books that are coming out in October, because they don't print. They print on, most of these companies print on demand, and it's whatever the comic shop orders. They'll order for their holds first, and then what do you order, like 5 to 10 more? Jeff?
Not even that.
Yeah, it depends on the book, right?
Yeah, one or two usually.
One or two more. Unless you know the book's going to be a big seller, then you'll order a lot more. But yeah, so you want to get these ordered right away. So we're going to be covering those, plus books that are coming out this next week that we're looking forward to. And we're going to get Joss to start us off.
All right, this week, let's honestly go indie first, because this one was more intriguing to me.
Okay.
I found from Whatnot Publishing, The Plot Holes, #1, by Sean Gordon Murphy, who's doing the writing and the cover illustration, at least, on this one. Mm-hmm. He's known for his groundbreaking series, Batman White Knight. Mm-hmm. There's a squad of fictional warriors who transport themselves into the pages of other books, using their unique skills to save the plots in order to stop them from being destroyed. And Cliff is their newest recruit, a comic creator who's just realized his world isn't real. In fact, it's a complete fiction that literally exists inside a novel. This really feels like very Inception-y, like a novel inside of a novel. And there's a whole bunch of misfits pulled from unpublished books that couldn't be saved. A manga samurai, a barbarian tiger, a kid from a comic strip, and a vampire assassin.
Mm.
So they're called The Plot Holes, and I think that it's pretty cute. So there's my indie pick of the week. How about you, Jeff?
Do
your October one. Yep.
Oh my gosh, you guys, sorry. We're still getting the hang of that. So my pick, my future pick is from Image Comics. It is called A Haunted Girl. It's a short series. It's a 1 of 4. Cleo is an adopted 16-year-old Japanese-American whose depression drove her to near suicide. She's trying unsuccessfully to integrate back into her old life, but her struggles are just beginning as she encounters an increasingly terrifying succession of ghosts. Is she losing her grip on reality, or is the explanation much worse? I just really apparently am drawn to all of the spooky season stuff when it starts coming out. You know, a good ghost story at Halloween time is what I'm looking for. So there we go. There's my future pick, indie pick as well. How about you, Jeff? Indie pick.
Coming up for this week, it's Only Teenage Wasteland from Dark Horse. In the first days of the apocalypse, a group of high school boys may be the last alive in the city. They throw a party at their house when the main character, Javi, his parents go out of town. They're trying to up their popularity game in school, but instead they get beat up by the school bully and then the apocalypse happens. So that one looks fun.
Yeah,
that one collects the miniseries. It's Only Teenage Wasteland. And then Vanity, number one, the remastered edition. This one's coming out from Scout Comics. It says, every great legend has a beginning, and horror stories are no different. The legendary Blood Countess Elizabeth Bathory is dead, and the grave diggers assigned to relocate her corpse. But who was she really, a monster or a victim? So that one looks like fun. And then my future solicitation will be the I Kill Giants 15th Anniversary Edition. Eisner-nominated, International Manga Award-winning. Barbara Thorson is your new hero. Quick-witted, sharp-tongued fifth grader who isn't afraid of anything, not the principal, not bullies, no one. And why would she be? After all, she's the only girl in school who carries an ancient Norse warhammer in her purse and kills giants for a living.
Love it.
Yeah, that one looks like fun. So that one's coming out finally.
I support that one 100%.
Yep. What about you, buddy?
My picks for this week, indie picks this week. Dynamite Entertainment is bringing out the trade for James Bond Himeros by Rodney Barnes and Antonio Fuso. This was one of my favorite, just based straight up. Read it. You don't need to worry about many, you know, any other subplots or anything. James Bond adventures that I've read in a long time. So this was really good. Himeros, beautifully drawn. I mean, the illustration by Antonio feels like an old 60s thing anyway. And it's just a really good book. Basically, Bond is... he's investigating the suspicious death of an accused sex trafficker and winds up in this whole game. And basically it's the, what was his name? The sex trafficker who like was linked to Donald Trump and the Prince of
Epstein.
Yeah. It's basically Epstein. It's basically the whole thing is Epstein told from a James Bond point of view. And it's a really good book. From IDW, Dungeons & Dragons Saturday Morning Adventures, Endless Summer. This is a special edition comic book. You get the return of Hank, Bobby, Sheila, Eric, Presto, Diana. And they're taking a load off, enjoying sand and surf. But Eric finds a baby dragon, and short summer is about to get very hot for them, basically. Yeah, it's basically everybody out having fun on the beach. And then, you know, madness ensues. But for me, it's returned to my favorite Saturday morning, one of my favorite Saturday morning shows. My future indie pick comes from Dark Horse Comics. Canary Number One by Scott Snyder. In 1891, a mine collapsed into itself. And what was the dark substance found 666 feet underground. Blending modern horror, historical fact, and Western lore, Scott Snyder and Dan Panosian have created a uniquely terrifying thriller with Canary. During the final days of the Gold Rush, one mining company in Colorado pulled up radioactive uranium, and then the mine then collapsed in on itself. And basically, it was a cursed or a haunted mine, but yeah. And this just sounds like a wonderful horror story by the great Scott Snyder.
He does good horror.
He does. Yeah. My mainstream picks this week from Marvel Comics. I'm looking forward to, of course, Ms. Marvel, the New Mutant number one. I'm a huge Kamala Khan fan. This one's even bigger because Pirzada Sabir and Iman Vellani are writing it. So Sabir, why did they put these backwards? It would be Sabir Pirzada and Iman Vellani. are writing this thing. Sabir Perzada is obviously the comic book writer working with Iman Vellani to write this story of Ms. Marvel after the resurrection technology basically makes her a mutant. Yeah, I was sitting there chatting with Charles about it, and we wrote a better plot line of that whole thing without having to have her die as a stunt. But anyway, this is going to be really good. And I'm just happy that, you know, Vellani's writing this thing. And then from DC Comics, just because it's fun, Gnorts Illustrated Swimsuit Edition number one. In this case, we get this is basically just beautiful artwork from all these amazingly talented artists of all the superheroes in their bathing suits. I think my favorite is the alternative cover where it's Batman laying on a chaise lounge with Catwoman cuddled up to him, and he's holding a magazine with the bat mask that goes down to the bottom. He's holding it up over his face. Yeah, I was just think that's just an adorable image. So it's one of those we're going to see everybody in their bathing suits kind of cheesecake issue. They put these out every now and then. They're just always fun, especially because you get to really see some beautiful artwork out of the whole thing. And then from Marvel Comics, my future pick for Marvel Comics. This one could be a big one, kids. You may want to get in on it. This is a one-shot. Superior Spider-Man Returns. Dan Slott is returning with everybody who at one time or another worked on Superior Spider-Man. And this is going to basically be the launch point. This book, this 48-pager, will be the launch point for a new Superior Spider-Man series they're going to launch next month.
Well.
Yep.
Nice.
So how about you, Jeff? What are your main streamers?
Marvel Comics, Elektra Black, White, and Blood. Being released in trade this week. This one's the one from Charles Soleil. I don't know it, but I want to read it because the folks that I've sold it to think it's fantastic.
So I'll agree with that. It was good.
Yeah, that's one I want to pick up this week. And then Night Terror's Night's End number one. Looking forward to that one. Night Terror's has been great so far. Really enjoying it. And so this is Night's End. I'm not sure how many of these there are. It may just be a one-off. What did I have for the future? Picks of the future, Marvel Ultimate Universe number one. We're getting the Ultimate Universe back, apparently. Maybe. I don't know. But it's a 40-page one-shot. And I guess we'll get to, because I liked Ultimate Thor. Let's be honest. I thought Ultimate Thor was fun. So I'm looking forward to it. See where that goes. See what they're going to do with it. I have no idea. That is it. And then for DC, my pick of the month is Danger Street, Volume 1. This is another one where we're selling it so fast, I haven't been able to nab a copy. I'm actually looking forward to being able to look at the story. Because I hear it's fucking great.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
It is my favorite thing right now. And it's because it's Tom King. Yep. And he's just, it's so weird and so all over the place. So you're not going to get the story you got with Mr. Miracle or Adam Strange or that, you know, the ones he's done so far. It's more like what he did with Rorschach. And it's amazing. Yeah. Worth reading.
Yeah.
Nice.
What about you, Joss?
Pick of the week is coming from Marvel Comics. It's Marvel Age number 1000.
Dun-dun-dun.
Dun-dun-dun.
Because I was like, because after all the years of me being on this podcast talking about how I hate the numbering systems and 1000 seems like a lot, this is really just a massive commemorative issue, you guys. It's got contributions from some of the most storied creators in Marvel history, as well as a few surprises. But Straczynski is in this book. Dan Slott and Michael Allred are doing a Captain Marvel story. Rainbow Rowell and Jamie McKelvey are exploring the blossoming relationship between Cyclops and Jean Grey. Mark Waid has a story about the Human Torch in this. So lots of different artists, writers coming up on this one. And it's $10. So it's not a giant book as far as costs go. And then I obviously don't know what month I was going to talk about because I pulled a November solicitation, but I'm going to go with it anyway. Daredevil is going to have a 1 of 4 starting in November. Daredevil Black Armor from D.G. Chittister.
Chittister.
Yep. Wow, that's not where my brain was going. So, and it's just a short run of Daredevil. So if you don't like Daredevil, this might be a good place for you to decide that I'm right and Daredevil's the best. So
now this is D.G. Chittister is the one who did the Black Armor Daredevil back a few years ago. So yeah.
Yes. So, so that will be a November pick, but it is out for ordering now. So get it ordered so that I know that I'll get a copy. That's it.
Okay. Awesome. Well, I think that's it for everybody this week. Anything else, kids?
Nothing.
All right. Well, I will say, first of all, be sure to join us over on Patreon at patreon.com/dfanmedia. This week, I'll need a topic. I don't know what we're going to talk about, so we'll figure it out when we get there. We may just chit-chat for a while. It's always fun to check us out on Patreon every week. We have a little discussion, a little bit longer form than what we talk about here. And you can join us on our Patreon squad just by joining us at patreon.com/dfanmedia. And I will say, as I always do, until Tony Stark proposes to Emma Frost, make mine Marvel.
For Hell's Kitchen.
For Stan.
For Asgard.